Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. This is Joseph, a.k.a. Harmonica Player. And I'd like to tell you about an awesome service that I use to get my podcast done. Did you know that there's a service out there called Zencastr, which is a one-stop shop for all podcasts? You can do editing, production, and audio and video. It's a one-stop shop place. If you use a professional account, like a Zencastr Pro and higher, you can have your video imported to every video player that there is possible. That only works on professional accounts, though. You have unlimited uploading, unlimited hosting, and you can monetize your podcast and earn money. Yeah. So if you want to take advantage of this, go to Zencastr.com/pricing and use my code HarmonicaPlayerPodcast and get 3 months off your Zencastr Professional. We are anxious to hear your story. Take care and happy podcasting.
Mic on. And now for today's episode of
Mic Off.
Gaming demos and other interests on Joseph Weekland's Harmonica Player Podcasts.
Mic on.
We present the first of two episodes called Sabbath School and Church. This time you're going to hear Sabbath School and Church Part 1, and the next podcast will be Part 2, the concluding part. So here's Part 1 now. Enjoy.
Mic off.
Man, wasn't he?
Okay.
So Walt opened in prayer with us, for us. We're going to take a few minutes, and we're going to look at session 6. That's our focus today. And we're talking about the disciple, and then we're going to talk about the most neglected part in evangelism. And it might surprise some of you. Did you know that over 261 times it appears in the New Testament, the 27 books, that it talks about the word disciple? And disciple is the most common word that is associated with Jesus. So if that's associated with Jesus, won't it be associated with us also? I believe so. A disciple, which literally means a learner. In the New Testament, the term follow, that's what Jesus did. He helped his disciples to learn about his mission and his work. And that's what we've been doing the past, well, 6 sessions, and not 6 consecutive weeks, but together learning some of the techniques of ministering and sharing and things to do and not to do, and knowing that we're all going to learn as we move forward, right? I like this. Bible disciples follow Jesus in a way that shapes their identity, worldview, and their way of life. The way of life. Discipleship ministry begins to create in us a way of life. We just cannot be about business as usual, especially in the days in which we live today. It's a way of life. It's a way that we practice. It's a way that we think. Everything about our day should be based on ministry. Lord, what is it for me today? Walt, I was thinking of the lesson as you were sharing with us that you brought out many good points, and we could almost turn it into a lesson today, but you think about work and being active. And our work that we have as Christians and our worldview should be about ministering to others. That is our call. That is our goal. So I want you to think about something before we venture into this weekend as we've gone out. How many of you gone out already to share? Okay, Pam's group has. I think that's the only one. And that's good. I like self-starters like that. We probably would have launched it last week, but I was gone for 2 weeks, and I'm looking forward to hear what you have to say to us. But a true disciple of God will never be conscious of his own limits or weakness. Will ever be conscious. We need to understand that we are weak vessels without him. Such an attitude leads them to a greater place, if we think this way, to a greater reliance upon the strength and wisdom of God. So when you're going out, our greatest strength is realized when we feel our knowledge is weak. You know, when I go out door to door, when I go visit someone, there is something inside of me sometimes I think, I am not qualified to do this. And I don't know if that's the devil's voice or just the feeling that, you know, as you grow up and you learn about things that you know your limitations, but all of that can be set aside if we recognize that we are weak vessels. But we are strong if we lean on Him and we trust in Him. And as we go to that first encounter coming up here this week or maybe even today, some of you are planning maybe to go out to visit those on your list, that our greatest strength is realized when we feel and acknowledge our weakness. So don't be fearful. Don't feel like you do not have the capability to do this. And so as we move ahead and venture out to reclaim our wayward members and our non-attending members, remember that statement, friends. So like Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power." So it's the Spirit of God that's going with us and before us. And we're prayed for those people that we're going to visit, that the Spirit of God will be in them. So if you have that right combination, I see great success. And sure, some are not ready. Some may say, I have no interest. But as the Holy Spirit works on them, we'll see great things happen. So let's talk about the very important portion, the growth cycle. Do you remember the growth cycle, what it is? Prepare, plant, cultivate, harvest. What's the last one? What is it, Jeff? Did you? No. It's preserve. One of the most neglected parts of the call cycle is the preservation. It's to preserve our members. How many times have you had an evangelistic series, brought 20 people into the church, and a year later, many of them are gone? It doesn't have to be that way. It does happen sometimes. Sure, some people weren't really ready, but oftentimes there's some things that we miss as a people that we can do better at this. You think of a farmer. If a farmer was to plant a crop, and the crop comes to its full fruition, and the corn is ready to be harvested, and he left it there, what would happen to it? It would rot. He would harvest it. If he had fruit or other vegetables, you either would can them, or you would freeze them, or you would dry them. You would do something with them to prepare them so you could sustain the value of the life of that fruit and vegetable for some time. So that's what we need. The subject today is really about that, just to talk about those, because as we're going out, our goal is that they come in, right? And I think we can be better prepared for our members coming back to be able to welcome them in and to develop a great friendship with them. Because Satan, oh, how he wants to have them come back, but he also wants them to leave quickly. So keep that in mind as we're reaching out to these individuals. As they're coming back into our churches, that we have a greater work once they come into our church. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the Navigators organization. It was developed in 1933 by a man named Dawson Troutman. And I liked what he did in his training when he trained Christian brothers and sisters to go out and work. His particular emphasis on was very simple, to share their faith. But he had a scenario developed very early on when the founder was asked to visit a sailor. His name was Les Spencer. And to share God's word, soon Spencer was asking another man to be taught by Troutman. So Spencer wanted Troutman to do his work, even though he wanted to pursue a soul. And you know what he told him? He says, "You teach them." Oh, you teach them. And you know what I'm saying to you today? You're going to have help from all of us because we're a team, we're working together. But now it's your responsibility to teach them when they come back. It doesn't end that you sit in the pew and you say, "Bonnie and Bob and Bill are back and it's so wonderful," and you leave them there. It's not supposed to look like that. Remember, the one thing that's neglected as they did these studies is to preserve our members as they have come back or as they have come into the faith. So we have a lot of work moving forward. So that's why what we're doing here today is not going to end. We've got a year together because we're going to bring this to a full fruition. And we're going to see that we're going to be able to not only bring those people back as God works with them, but we're going to be able to minister to them and help them grow in the faith. So our response again, I think what I was going to say here is one of the most neglected part of evangelism in the call cycle is preservation. You know, we can go to them, we can plant the seed, we can till the soil, we can water the soil, but if you leave them there, there's going to be a problem. So think about the challenge. When those people come back, oftentimes they're coming out of a lifestyle that's different than your lifestyle. They may be struggling with vices in this world, drugs and alcohol, but they're feeling a calling of God. And they're going to need each one of us to come very close to them as they come back. They'll need spiritual counseling. They'll need a lot of prayer. They'll need fellowship. So when they come back, we have to do things different. So what can we do? As they return and you adopt them as your brother and sister, I'm just going to throw it out here. What do you think that we can do with them as they come back? And there's a microphone there, Pam. I'll grab it. I don't know if you want to speak. I'm not saying you speak for them, but what can we do for them as they return? Check 1, 2. It's on. What can we do as they return? Can we invite them home for a fellowship dinner? Include them. Maybe invite them to a church social like tonight. What else can we do? Oh, it's on now. Anyone else? Idea? What else can we do? Pam, speak, because I guess we're live.
Sit with them in church.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, sit with them in church. How hard, you know, our traditional seating's right over there. You know, I don't have a problem moving, but Debbie loves to be in front. So if you're going out as teams, spouses, be willing to change your spot if you got to go sit with someone. I know it feels different, it's uncomfortable. You might be a back sitter and all of a sudden you see they came up here and sat up front. Go sit with them, man, that is powerful. When they know that you're with them in the church service, they feel like they're part of a family because they're new. They're walking into a family that maybe they don't know anyone here but you. So make them feel Walt, what do you have for us?
I was handed a mic. I guess I'm supposed to say something.
No, I thought.
Well, I'll say this. The other thing that you need to do is be friendly. I heard the other day, don't go to people that come to church and treat them as guests, or visitors, treat them as guests. They're should be special.
Yeah.
I know after 40-some years of wandering around and doing all kinds of things, nobody came to my door and said, come back. God did.
Mm.
And I watched online for a while and finally came in, tripped over that step on that end of the hallway where you go out into the parking lot.
Right.
Yeah, that was my entry into the. But one person that week said hi to me, Yorick. Only person that talked to me that week. And I think we have to be everybody, not just the people going out. Everybody has to be there and be friends to me.
Thank you, Walt. Probably the second most important thing, or maybe on the top of the first. When I came into the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I lived in Colorado by myself, left my home in my early 20s, all alone, met the Lord, came to my first Sabbath that day at that church, and I was overwhelmed with kindness. Unbelievable. I thought, you know what? My family's not here. They're not here to celebrate the fact that my life was changed. But my church family made me feel important. They made me feel as though, like, Lord, it's okay right now. I'm hurting that I lost my family, but I regained a special family with my. You're special, friends. You're special to those that are coming in. You may not know it. You may not be the extrovert, the one that always goes up to people, but what does it take to go up and say, you know, we're so glad to see you here. My name is Mike. Your name is? Just, and they'll feel like they're welcomed. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that. That's very important. Anything else as we're moving forward here that we can do as our friends return to the church here in Holly? Be over-friendly. You won't scare them away. I don't think you can over-friendly anyone. So the idea is to kindly deal with them. My mother-in-law tells a story. You know, God rest her soul. I love her and miss her dearly. She loved the Lord with all her heart. And this happened, I think it was 1980, a year before I came back here to Michigan and joined the First Flint Church. There were three men that came into the church. Now, this is just post-70s, you know, long hair, that kind of stuff. These guys came in, and sister, their hair was longer than yours. It came down to the middle of their back. They walked into the church, and they had jeans on and a T-shirt on, and they just didn't fit into the suit and tie culture. But my mother-in-law went up and embraced them and hugged them and welcomed them to the church. And now I'm trying to think of his last name. He's a pastor in the Michigan Conference, one of them. The other two are in the church. Rocker, Pastor Rocker, and his wife wrote the cookbooks. He was a gentleman that had the long hair, and he tells a story that, you know, that really impacted his life, that he was accepted coming into the church at the way he looked. So what I'm saying, if they don't look like you, that's okay. Just embrace them, love them. God will clean them up. It's not our responsibility to clean people up. If they want recommendations, we can share those with them in the right spirit. But we need to deal kindly with them as they come in. And we need to help them understand and educate them about the Christian life. So as you're mentoring our members that come back, mentor them in your homes, like we talked about. Bring them home for a lunch. Encourage them. Larry, let me get you a mic, Larry. There you can. I can grab that.
All I wanted to say was that Dan Rocker was the pastor of the Wyoming Church.
Yeah.
And he had over 200 people at the concert that we put on.
Praise those. 200.
Over 200.
You see what happens when you love someone? Maybe that day, if my mother-in-law wouldn't have embraced them, they may have been back out in the world. I don't know. You know, God's bigger than me. He sees before. But I really believe our encounters with people impact them. And it can change their destiny if we're just willing to be friendly and kind to them. Thanks for sharing that. You know, Jesus, he modeled Christianity. What did he do? He brought the people along with them. Bring these individuals along with him. Include them in everything that you can think of. If you even have to overwhelm them a little bit, they'll tell you, hey, I can't do this now, but let them know you care. We don't want to lose them. They're going to be some of our greatest strengths in the church as they come back. Because when God gets a hold of a heart and they're converted and they see the fire in the church, they're just going to kindle that fire more and the church is going to be on fire more. That's what we're looking for. We got 12 months to see these things come to fruition, and I believe they will, friends. If we take the right attitude, and if we're consistent with our visitations, and if we have a specific plan moving forward, and I just want to make a note here, make sure when you're going out, have a sheet of paper in the car. I was going to put the form together, but we're all a little different. I thought of doing something on Excel, and I thought, you know, not everyone uses computer. I thought of using a hard copy. Not everyone maybe like a hard copy. They might put notes in their phone. Do whatever it takes to take good notes. You know, I visited with Bob today. Bob said he would love to come back, but he feels that he wouldn't be welcome because he's still smoking. Bob, come to church. Just don't light up in church. You know, whatever you say to him. You know, we're going to work with you. You know, sometimes we push people away because they're still dealing with these things in their life, but God wants to create in them a new way of life. Every one of those three men, I believe, were smoking at that time as they come back to church. But they came each week. 3-4 weeks later, Larry, Dan cut his hair. A couple months later, he had a suit on. I mean, not that that matters. I mean, you can have long hair and not wear a suit and love Jesus with all your heart. I get that.
And then Dan became one of the top call porters in the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
Then he went out to do other missionary work, and he'd come be the top call porter again. And then he'd go out and do some other missionary work, and then he'd come back and be the top call porter again.
I knew someone know Dan. Thanks, Larry. Amen. Yeah. He said unto them, feed my lambs. This was a work in which Peter had but little experience. Peter, one of Jesus' disciples. But he could not, it tells us in Review and Herald, this was 1892, but he could not be complete in Christian life unless he learned to feed his lambs. Oh, do you feel complete in your Christian life? That's just a question for you to ask yourself. I have found the only time I feel complete in my Christian walk is when I'm sharing my faith. There's something about it that there is a void in my walk is when I'm not sharing my faith. And Peter had but little experience in doing this, but when he learned what it meant to feed the lambs, his experience just blew up. Do you want your Christian life just to expand, to experience? It doesn't matter how old you are. Oftentimes we think because I'm this old, I can't do that. No, no. Challenge yourself and allow the Spirit to fill you, and you'll see you'll do things that you've never, ever thought you could do. So, friends, next week we're going to wrap up the training session. We're going to have a little Q&A time, too, and then we're going to have some testimonies as folks are going out. But before we close with a couple statements, I wanted Pam to come up. Pam, do you have a microphone?
Yeah.
I'll get it from Larry. Oh, right there, right there. Look at that. Come on up, Pam. Pam and her group, Petra, Pam and Jessica, they had already gone out. Praise the Lord. These are what you call overachievers.
No.
No. But Pam is going to share with us. You know, I don't know what the story is about or what your experience is, but from week to week, we're going to have some of these to encourage us to keep the fire going. So, Pam, tell us about some of your visits or one of your visits.
Well, first of all, I am not an overachiever. Petra and Jessica and I felt strongly about getting started. And so when we got our list, we made the mistake of not looking at a map. So I suggest before you get started, look at a map and kind of schedule your visits around from one to the next, because we did a lot of back and forth. And the first week we went out, we really only had one encounter. And it was a good encounter because the first thing she said was, don't give up on me.
Oh, amen.
And then the next week was a little disheartening because the person, when we asked if we could pray with them, said, no, I don't feel good. Which, I get it. But we did pray for her in the car.
Amen.
We prayed before we went out.
Pam, can I just interrupt you just real quick? When she said, I don't feel good, was she talking about, physically she doesn't feel good. So she didn't feel like she was unworthy of prayer. She felt physically.
Yes.
Okay.
But before we got out of the car, each time we prayed as a group. And we found that there was quite a few people on our list that we couldn't find home. And there was a couple of people that didn't live at the address anymore. And we gave them our little present anyway.
No, what was your little present? Help us out.
We took loaves of bread.
Okay.
Okay, small loaves of bread. And we did make one visit that was probably, should have been visited a while back because I didn't realize that person had been sick. And they were so appreciative of us coming.
Amen. I'm going to stop there for a minute. So some were the addresses were not correct. What are you doing to pursue those wrong addresses?
I'm not sure. Petra was checking into that.
Okay. So we'll put a system together where we can at least follow up.
Yeah. We at one place we forgot to ask, how long they had lived there.
Okay.
So, and the other one that we didn't have the address, they had lived there for 2 years.
Yeah.
So we learned as we went. And just a little bit of a testimony.
Please.
When I was getting ready to meet Petra and Jessica, and I was leaving the house, and most of you know that my husband's not an Adventist. He said, well, what are you doing? And I said, and I was in a hurry, I'm going to save souls.
Amen.
He just shook his head. But isn't that what we're doing?
Yeah.
We're going to save souls. Yeah.
Seeking the lost. Thank you, Pam. I mean, for a first time out, right? Is that one visit or two times out? How long do we have, folks? We got another 10 months left. You've already gone through a part of your list.
We went through the
list. Okay.
But realizing that you need to go through the list more than once.
Once what do you mean? Let me give you this mic, because this is all good information.
So when we were there, we did ask them if we could visit again. And I don't think one visit is adequate.
Yeah.
And so we agreed as a group that we would wait a few weeks and then visit these people again.
Yes, if you remember back when we did some role play, you will be able to identify those individuals most of the time that will embrace you back at their front doorstep. And that's important. This is not a one-time visit. Now, if I was going to sell you something and you didn't show much interest that first time, but you didn't close the door on me, do you think I'm going to be back? Absolutely. Our goal is for continuous visitations. If you're not frustrating them or they're getting upset at you, you need to continue to be there to meet their needs. You need to look around their house like we talked about. We need to encourage them and say, hey, next week I come back, I have something that, based on our conversation here, I wanted to bring back and share with you. So that gives you another visit opportunity. And then when you give it to them, just say, hey, in a couple weeks I'll come back and follow up and see what you thought of this. You need to build a chain of relationship experiences. And it might be 10 months before they say, you know what, when's your church service start? They might be here. So, yeah, it's not one visit, folks. Even if you feel that you're not sure if you should go back, you need to go back, and you need to pray even harder and fast for them so that you can go back. Pam has a thought.
Well, one of the things is, it's gone. yes, we need to go back and see them again, but we didn't go there and say, we'd really like you to come back.
No.
We went and said that we missed you, and we left it open.
Yeah.
We didn't say, oh, we want you back. No. We just left it open.
Yeah, and that's not our open. What you did was exactly right. We're here. We missed you. I know it's been a long time that probably someone has touched base with you. We apologize for that, but we're here today to say, is there anything that we can do to meet any needs that you may have, physical needs, structural needs, you know, spiritual needs, education, anything that we can see around as we're asking questions, we need to build that relationship. No, by no means do we go and say, hey, I want you in church next Sabbath. No, it takes time to build this relationship back. And I think we all know that, but I'm glad you brought that up just to help coach us as we're going forward. And each week as we share these stories, this will help us grow and understand some of the pitfalls, understand what works best, what doesn't work best. And we're going to learn from each other. So we will keep this going. It might be a little segment each week that we will do to have this fire keep burning. But any questions before we go out? We got a couple minutes. Before we go out and visit, is there something that's just burning in your heart to say, Mike, I don't know about this or that or anything. You all feel confident. That's good. You're all excited about doing it. I know Jeff and I are excited about doing it. We got an appointment Thursday to go out and start our visitation. It doesn't have to just be on Sabbath. It can be any day during the week. Again, pick those times that are respectful for the families and be there. Well, good. If there's no questions, I just praise the Lord that everyone is excited about doing this and thrilled about the fact that this church is going to continue to grow and that we can be a part of that. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for what you're doing in our own personal lives. And we thank you, Father, that what you're doing for our church as our family has come together with a mission to reach those that have gone astray for a while. Lord, thank you for Pam and her group's testimony this morning and how they diligently have gone out already. Lord, bless those individuals. Bless all those that we're going to come in contact with these next few months. Lord, may we develop relationships. May they see the love of Jesus in each of us as they come through these doors one day, as what we've talked about today. Help us to preserve your flock, Lord. Help us to preserve what's here today. May we love each other. May we be kind to each other. May we just embrace your truths together in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Pam. No, you're all right. I was going to.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
I'd invite you to turn in your hymnal to hymn number 600. Hold fast till I come, sweet promises given to all who believe. Behold, I come quickly, mine own to receive. Page 600, please. Sweet promises given to all who believe. Behold, I come quickly, my own to receive. Hold fast till I come, the danger is great. Sleep not as do others. And wait. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restored to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on my throne, bright crowns are in. Hold fast till I come. We'll watch unto prayer with lamps burning bright. He comes to all others, a thief in the night. We know he is near, we know not the day. As spring shows as summer is not far away. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restored to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on my throne, bright crowns are in waiting. Hold fast till I come. Yes, this is our hope, 'tis built on his word, the glorious appearing of Jesus, our Lord. A promise is all, it stands as a sum. Behold, I come quickly, hold fast till I come. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restored to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on my throne, bright crowns are in waiting. Hold fast till I come.
The way we're going to do that is by walking with him. 574, O Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. 574.
O Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. Help me the slow of heart to move by some clear winning word of love. Teach me the wayward feet to stay and guide them in the homeward way. Teach me thy patience still with thee in closer
We'll go back a few more pages. For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies. 565. For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the sky, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our grateful song of praise. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, pleasures pure and undefiled. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our grateful song of praise. For the gift of thy dear Son, for the hope of heaven at last, for the Spirit's victory. Lord of all, to thee we raise songs of gratitude and praise. Because we want to praise him. 560, let all things now living. Things now living, a song of thanksgiving to God the Creator, triumphantly raise, who fashioned and made us, protected and stayed us, who guideth us unto the end of our day. His banner are o'er us, his light goes before us, a pillar of fire shining forth in the night, till shadows have vanished and darkness is banished. As onward we travel from light into light, his law he enforces, the stars in their courses, the sun in his orbit obediently shine. Hills and the mountains, the rivers and fountains, the deeps of the ocean proclaim him divine. We should be revoicing our love and rejoicing with glad adoration. A song let us raise, till all things now living unite. And we we should be able to do it because of He leads us. 537, He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. 537. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me. Verse 4, please.
And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace a victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me. By His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
To welcome you all to the Holly Seventh-day Adventist Church, and welcome everyone online watching. Your bulletins, I'm doing the welcome and announcements right now. So, our announcements for today. Our Vespers program will be starting at 5 o'clock tonight here at the church. So take note of that. It's 5 o'clock here. And then immediately after Vespers, we are doing a church social at my house. So you can come from here straight down to my house. My address is in the bulletin with my phone number, so if you need to call me, if you get lost or whatever, Google it, put it on your phone, it'll take you right there. I will try to have my dog kind of out of the way, but if he comes out, he barks at you like he's a terrorist. But if just don't pet him, let him come sniff you. After he sniffs you, he'll wag his tail and he'll be fine. But if you put your hand out at him, he kind of gets a little sketchy around you. But I'll try to keep him out of the way, just make it a little easier, because the barking dogs get scary. I get it. So I think everything else basically is per the bulletin. And then we're going to have Ann's going to come up. She's got AJ in action. But before that, I'm going to do our call to worship. And this morning I was doing my devotions. I was reading through the book, reading at the end of Luke, the last couple of chapters in Luke. And a verse struck me. I was like, wow, that's a pretty good one. It's in Luke chapter 24, verse 45. Where the Bible says that, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Speaking of Jesus, he opened up their understanding. They just did their walk to Emmaus, and he told them everything, beginning with Moses. And they just didn't really grasp it all until like Jesus opened. He had to open up their understanding. And that's our prayer today and our call to worship today, that that be God's will, that He would open up our understanding, that we would understand the scriptures. He's got the power to give us understanding, so we should come to God and have Him give us understanding of the scriptures. So I'm going to have our prayer, and then after that, Anne will come up and do AJ in action. Father in heaven, Lord, thank You for granting us the permission, Lord, the honor, or the joy of being able to come to church on the Sabbath day, Father, on Your holy day. Father, as we are here, we are asking, Lord, that You would, as You did for the disciples on the walk to Emmaus, Lord, that you would give us understanding of the scriptures, that You would help us to see You clearly in the scriptures, and that You would put in us, Father, a greater love for You and for Your word today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. I bring you greetings from your school, Adelphian Junior Academy. We have been having a very busy year. This morning I'd like to share with you some of the school events that we had going on in the months of November and December. So we're going to take a little trip back in history here. And also some of the fun things that we do in my classroom. This year I have grades kindergarten through sixth grade. And we have a lot of fun. We do a lot of intense schoolwork with math and reading and science and social studies, but we have fun too, and I want to share some of those things with you this morning. One of the things we like to do is go out and take care of our older people in our church. They're an important part of our church family, and sometimes it gets hard to get out there and take care of the yard work. So we went over with Peggy Hoffmeyer's house in November, on a beautiful day in November, and helped her with her yard work. And she's always fun to go over there. She loves seeing the kids and likes to make them cookies and things like that. And if she has a profitable apple year, we get to pick apples too. But as you can see, the kids are hard workers, but they like to have fun with it too. And so we had a lovely afternoon over there, raking her leaves and visiting with her and just enjoying a nice day outside, enjoying the wonderful fall weather that we had. Our next big event after that was our Golden Leaves Banquet. Many of you were able to attend that. Here the kids are working hard making the table favors of the pumpkins. And then it's always fun to get together for lunch in the gym. And you can see that the kids are eager for that delicious Thanksgiving-themed meal that our wonderful home and school moms prepare. And I want to say a special thank you to our home and school leader, Kristen Wittenbach. She did a fabulous job organizing this. And we just had lots of fun coming together. So the food is yummy, the fellowship is good, but the highlight, I think, is the program that the kids put on afterwards. And in my class, we've been studying creation, and so the kids were sharing some songs and some memory verses that they had from that. And then the older kids put on an excellent skit about the history of Thanksgiving and the pilgrims and the Indians. And then we all came together afterwards for the Adelphian theme song. After that, we still had 2 days of school that we had to have before we got out on Wednesday for Thanksgiving. And so in both the kindergarten room and the upper grade classroom, we just spent 2 days focusing on Thanksgiving. And that was lots of fun. They learned a lot. They had a lot of fun. And you can see that they're proud of the projects that they created. Once we got back from Thanksgiving, it was time to focus on Christmas, and many of you also came to our Christmas concert in December. The kids were sharing with us skits, focusing on the birth of Jesus, and then many musical selections. And then we didn't just share here with you, we also took it to one of our church members at Wellbridge of Grand Blanc. Many of you know Dee Dee Bishop, and she was thrilled to have us come and visit. We made her cards, and we shared that with all of her friends there at Wellbridge, and the kids put on portions of their Christmas program for them. And then we also got an opportunity to witness to the staff there. They were having a Christmas party, and they invited us to come down and sing a couple songs for their school Christmas party. So, our school, nursing home Christmas party. So anyway, we enjoyed witnessing for Jesus at Wellbridge that day. And one of the kids said afterwards, this is fun, we should do this more often. And so I think we will do that at least one more time this school year. And I'd like to say a big thank you to our music teacher, Mrs. Rebecca White. She does a great job with our kids. And you're going to be missing us here in a couple weeks because we're going to take our show on the road to a couple of our churches and witness to them as well. So please pray for that as we have preparations underway with the programming and the messages that we'll be sharing at those churches. Here we are at the last day of school before Christmas break. We get to come together as a school and have a party that our 9th and 10th graders planned for us. They're our essay, actually it's 8th and 9th grade this year. And we want to say a big thank you to our SA moms there. They made the meal for us, and the theme was Candyland, which, of course, the kids loved, and even the big kid there called the pastor that attended. And we just play some games, have good food. They do an awesome job of decorating, and we have fun together on that day before we go our separate ways for Christmas. So that wraps up November and December. But then when we got back, my classroom had filled up their marble jar for the second time, and that means we get to have a fun activity known as our ice cream social. And so we kicked off our ice cream social with making a mummy. And the first mummy there is Jamie. You probably can't recognize her, but maybe you can see the second mummy there is Micah. And it was quite a feat, let me tell you, for him to hold still for as long as it took for them to wrap him up as a mummy. So good job, Micah. Then after we played some games with balloons together, we divided up into teams and we did a round robin where they did 9 different activities, kind of like minute to minute games. And so it's fun team building and just active type hand-eye coordination games there that they enjoyed. And then after we spent about 45 minutes playing games, they got to have their delicious ice cream sundae. So we're about halfway full with the marble jar now, and so we'll have to wait and see what happens the next time we fill it up. Kindergarten is one of the most fun things that we do at AJA, so I'm thrilled that we started our year with 5 kindergartners, and we're looking forward to a couple coming next year as well. The program is really hands-on. It's theme-oriented, and the kids get to do lots and lots of activities throughout the day. As you can see down at the bottom with the little halos on, we do have wonderful angels in our class this year. They're a fun group of kids that we enjoy working with on a daily basis. Here you can see that they are, I don't know if you can see, but they're wearing little ant antennas on their head that they made because they're studying the letter. Can you see the letter that they're making? The letter A, that's right. So that's like one example of stuff that we do every day. Lexi in the middle there is showing one of our last Bible studies that we did on the little boy who brought his lunch to Jesus, and he multiplied it and fed the 5,000 people. So she has the 5 loaves and 2 fishes in her little basket that she made out of Play-Doh. And then Hawk and Lexi are practicing some of those hand-eye coordination skills. The whole class actually is working together in a bucket brigade to move water from one area to another. So they have lots of fun on a daily basis. Everything, as I said, is theme-oriented. Here we have Remy. Our book for the week was Mama Panyo's Pancakes from Africa. And there he's flipping some pretend pancakes. In the middle, we had just finished studying the Arctic, and Hawk is using simulated snow, it's actually shaving cream, to practice writing some things. And then we also had a unit on careers, and Nathan there has a puzzle where he can make different careers. So there's a little example of some of the theme-oriented things that we do. So we love Visitor Day, because Visitor Day is where all of the kids in my classroom get to have a kindergarten day. And so, because we have, it's like a kindergarten roundup. So we invite our visitors that want to come to school maybe the next year. And we have a theme day. This year it was bears and teddy bears. So on the left-hand side there, we're getting ready to go on a bear hunt together with that classic book that's out there. On the right, Gavin and Elijah, they're showing off their teddy bears that they were using for the day, and they made teddy bear headbands. And then Ellie and Aubrey are playing bear bingo there, and Michael is showing off the yummy bear treat that we got to make for snack that day. And then we had a round robin again where we were just doing all kinds of activities with alphabet and numbers and fine motor skills that all had to do with bears, and it was a really, really fun day. Valentine's Day just happened as well, and I turned that into a STEM day. STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. We did about 10 different experiments with Valentine-themed things, so the kids got to practice making hypotheses, and then we did an experiment, and they had to write down their observations and the things that they learned, and they had a really fun time doing that. So here's some more things. They were building a tower out of the candy hearts to see how tall that they could build it and see what happened when warm water mixes with food coloring. So this is just a little snapshot of some things that happen at our school. We couldn't have our school without you and your support. So we really appreciate our church family. You support us in many, many ways with finances, with prayers, with physically coming to school and helping out with maintenance things. So please, thank you. Keep supporting us. We are raising kids for the kingdom.
I would invite you to take your hymnal and turn to 522 and let us stand as we sing our opening hymn. My hope is built on nothing less. Be seated.
Mic on. This completes the episode of
Mic Off.
Gaining demos and other interests on Joseph Weekland's Harmonica Player Podcast.
Mic on.
Till next time, have a good one. Bye-bye.
Mic off.